This is the recording of the Legislative Procedure and Arrangements Committee meeting of June 19th, 2012, in the Harvest Room of the State Capitol.
We'll call the meeting of Legislative Procedure and Arrangements Committee to order. And Jay, if you would take the roll.
Representatives Carlson.
Here.
Drovdahl.
Here.
Caldor.
Here.
Kelsch.
Here.
Dagusa.
Here.
Senators Wardner.
Here.
Chrisman.
Here.
Kilzer.
Here.
Schneider.
Here.
Taylor.
Here.
We have a quorum, Mr. Chairman. Senator Kilzer, let us know ahead of time that he will not be at this meeting. He's in Washington, D.C.
You had a copy of the minutes were sent to you of the last meeting. If there's no changes, we'll ask for a motion to approve.
So moved.
Have a motion by Representative Dagusa, a second by Senator Wardner. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are approved. Mr. Bernrud, most of this meeting is things that you have laid out for us, things we need to do for the session, so I'm going to kind of turn it over to you, and we'll go through, and as we need motions and stuff, you would be so kind as to remind us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will. As you can see, members of the committee, it's a rather full agenda today. A lot of it's boilerplate, regular stuff that's normally approved for each session, and we come back and get the approvals again from the Legislative Procedure Arrangements Committee. I'll be talking fast. I'll be hitting the high points. That doesn't mean you can't ask any questions, but just remember we have 10 o'clock to get out of here. But it's just a budget section meeting afterwards.
Didn't catch that little note.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the first two items we have are requests to use the chambers. One is from Alan Stengem on behalf of the Girl Scouts to use there's going to be a Girl Scout encampment on the Capitol grounds celebrating the 100th anniversary, and they'd like to use a chamber on July 14th. The committee approved a similar request for the Boy Scouts of America back in 2010, which is noted on your agenda. The next request is from Mr. Brian Bubach, the North Dakota High School Activities Association. He normally requests 2 years in advance to use the chambers for the State Student Congress, and they overlap every year, so I've only included the 2013 request this time because this committee has already approved the 2012 request on it. Mr. Chairman, traditionally the committee has approved these requests, and it's by motion and roll call vote.
We take the motion to approve.
So moved.
Sorry. Moved by Representative Caldor, seconded by Senator Taylor. We'll take a roll call vote.
Representatives Carlson.
Yes.
Drovdahl.
Yes.
Caldor.
Yes.
Kelsch.
Yes.
Dagusa.
Yes.
Senator Wardner.
Yes.
Chrisman.
Aye.
Schneider.
Aye.
Taylor.
Aye.
Motion carried, Mr. Chairman.
Now, just a question after the fact here. The work will be done so they'll be able to get in there?
Well, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, any approval for use of the chambers, they're notified that if the chambers aren't ready, they can't use them.
Okay. Because they have been working in there, correct? And we're meeting different place today because of that?
Right. Mr. Boyle will be here later this morning, not too much later this morning, and to talk about the status of the chamber renovation as well as the parking lot renovation projects. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the next one is invitation to bid for photography services. In front of you, you have the RFP. The Legislative Procedure and Arrangements Committee approves the RFP that is presented for photography services and the other ones today, and they are sent out in July. The bids are received, come back, and the committee reviews them and accepts the awards the contract at its meeting in September. So there's plenty of time for the contractees to make arrangements for the session work. The first one is for photography services. It's basically the same proposal as last time in 2010. The only changes have been we've replaced the dates with 2012, 2013 dates that are the equivalent time frames for this. So there's usually a motion to approve this too.
Mr. Chairman, I would move approval of the invitation to bid for photography services. Okay, would you like to take all of these next four or five in a row or in one motion? Or We don't want them all separate.
Yeah, we kind of want them separate.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the procedure for bid. Is there a second? Second by Representative Kelch.
Representatives Carlson?
Yes.
Drovdahl?
Yes.
Caldor?
Yes.
Kelch?
Yes.
Vigasa?
Yes.
Senators Wardner?
Yes.
Chrisman?
Aye.
Schneider?
Aye.
Taylor?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the next one is the secretarial bid for the secretarial services telephone message room. And there are some changes to this contract from in the past. The Legislative Procedure and Arrangements Committee has contracted out for various services for, first it was the bill and journal room, then it was the secretarial service, then it was the telephone room, and with the contractor. And since about 2001, the same contractor has handled all three services. Before that, they were split off to different contractors, but it's more efficient because they do some time management and shift employees from one area to the other. Here's the changes from the 2010 RFP. We've put in new descriptions of the numbers and types of documents printed, and that's on the first page. The bill and journal room will be open starting Monday, December 10th. That's the Monday following the organizational session, because bills are starting to be received then, and they organize the room and get the subscription services set up and the mailing list set up, and they handle people coming in asking for copies of printed bills starting the Monday after the organizational session. The number of contract employees is reduced from 6 to 4.5. And that was based on a recommendation from Sphere on Staffing, which has staffed the room for the last 3 or 4 sessions on it. They staff the area. So there's 4.5 employees. Basically, there'll be 2.5 upstairs in the secretarial telephone room and 2 downstairs in the bill and journal room, rotating as needed between the two services or two areas. A minimum hourly wage for a contract supervisor is set at $12, and the minimum hourly wage for contract employees is set at $11.50. Again, that was based on recommendations from Sphere on Staffing, saying that they recommended that to assure a type of quality of employee that you need. And to put that in perspective, in 2011, the legislative assistant, which is basically your page and your parking lot attendants during the legislative session, they were paid the equivalent of $12.25 an hour. So that's, and a 2-day committee clerk was $16.50 an hour. So that's some 2011 wages, and this contract has a minimum of $12 for the supervisor, $11.50 for the employees. The bill and journal room will not be open Christmas Eve Day, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve Day, and New Year's Day, just to make it clear in the contract, because you always get calls about that. Are you open? And it's going to be easy to say no. Secretarial services will be available beginning at 7 a.m. daily. And that was a request by Senator Chrisman to include that for the early riser members of the Legislative Assembly, so that secretarial services are available starting at 7 o'clock. On it. That's the major changes to this RFP.
Any questions? I guess my only comment was things have really changed over the years, the way we get our messages and the way we get so much stuff by email. Do you feel this is properly accounted for, the number of people we're looking at?
Yes,
I mean, there's really a lot less people doing letters, a lot less people receiving calls.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, to give you a little bit of an example, I think as the first time the contracts were awarded to privatize the services, the bill and journal room had about 12 employees, the secretarial service had about 12 employees, and the telephone room had 11 employees. So you take all those numbers together, and right now it's going to be 4.5 employees doing that.
35 to 4.5.
Yeah. It's been a slow process, but the secretarial service, the contractor, has been very good. They let people go early when they don't see the work, and then they let people go towards the end of the session when the work isn't there on it. So because they're managing the contract, the bid prices has always come in has always been higher than what the actual billings have been, because they manage the hours, because they really don't want employees sitting around doing nothing
on it. Okay, is there a motion to approve that bid proposal?
Second.
Motion by Representative Drovdahl, second by Representative Vigasa. We'll take the roll.
Representatives Carlson?
Yes.
Drovdahl?
Yes.
Caldor?
Yes.
Kelch?
Yes.
Vigasa?
Yes.
Senators Wardner?
Yes.
Chrisman?
Aye.
Schneider?
Aye.
Taylor?
Aye.
Motion carried, Mr. Chairman. The next one is the a policy, sets the photocopy fee policy. The Bill and Journal Room used to have a photocopy machine, the contractor has, would provide it as part of the contract, and then the contractor could charge and retain the fees. And that wasn't working out too well, the contractor was having trouble getting a machine for 3 months. So back in 2005, the contract was changed, and we, the Legislative Council, puts a copy machine in the Bill and Journal Room, just like the other copy machines located throughout the area, and retains the fees that are made on it. And this, what this policy does is provides that when the Bill and Journal Room provides copies of documents for individuals when they come in, they charge 25 cents a page, but those aren't charged for anything that's normally available from the Bill and Journal Room, because we've been cutting down the numbers, and if somebody comes in and they don't have any bills available, they can make a photocopy of a bill and they don't charge for that. But if, let's say, a lobbyist, who are usually well-to-do on it, come in and ask for copies of their testimony, they charge 25 cents a page to do that for them.
No, we're doing the right thing when we hear noises like that.
And we just want to, I just want to point out, this somewhat ties in a little later, in the photocopy fee policy, we included some additional information for you. Once the photocopier was placed in the Bill and Journal Room, if you look at some of the copies that are made, some of the committee clerks are taking advantage of that, particularly the Appropriations Committee. If you look at 2005 in the Rough Rider Room, 109,000 copies were made in that photocopy machine. If you look at 2011, 10,000 copies were made. That's not because the House Appropriations Committee members don't use more paper. It's because the Bill and Journal Room is making 106,000 copies of documents. So it's these packets that are made at the end of the week for committee members. On it, the appropriations clerks, primarily them, come down to the Bill and Journal Room and have the Bill and Journal Room prepare those packets for them. And the other House committee clerks, they're up in an area, and there's a photocopy machine up in that area that's a heavy-duty machine that they use on it. So. Is there a motion, Mr. Chairman, on the photocopy policy?
Is there a motion on the policy?
I so move that we have.
Second. Senator Wardner, and a second by Representative Senator Snyder.
Representatives Carlson.
Yes.
Govdahl.
Yes.
Kaldor.
Yes.
Kelsch.
Yes.
Vigasa.
Yes.
Senators Wardner.
Yes.
Chrisman.
Aye.
Schneider.
Aye.
Taylor.
Aye.
Motion carried, Mr. Chairman. The next item is a contract for printing bills, resolutions, and journals. The committee does not approve that contract. The contract is issued by the Central Services Division of the Office of Management and Budget, which goes through the regular printing procedures and bids. And they're the ones that receive the bids, and they determine who's the best bidder. And if you look at this, you'll see why they're involved, because they look at number of pages copied and things like that. But we bring it to the committee for your information, and we are looking for approval for basically two things. One is the figure, this is the same RFP that was issued for the 2011 bills, resolutions, and journals, except figures are updated to reflect 2011 costs. 2009, the approximate cost was $90,000. 2011, the cost to print bills, resolutions, journals, and journals index came to $73,000. So it's going down every session. And primarily because the number of items copied or printed by the contract printer has gone down. The next the big changes are, we're reducing the number of bills printed by the contract printer from 175 to 165. We've gone in and looked at the Bill and Journal Room and see what numbers of copies of bills left, and we think we can reduce them by 10. So, just for your information, last session only 175 copies of bills were printed of each bill on it. Legislators don't receive them, so that eliminated 141 copies right there on it. So I mean, it's been going down. The number of journals remains the same at 170. We determine that's about the right number for journals on it. And the number of permanent journal indexes, we're increasing it from 170 to 200. Now you may say, why are we doing more indexes than printing the journals? It's because basically, if someone, you can get access to the journals on the web, But if you don't have an index, I don't know why you want to do that unless you want to read 2,000 pages to find out where anything is on it. So, and people are starting to figure that out, so there have been more requests to receive the index so they can, the index basically is your, is a bill status report along with points of personal privilege, you know, where they're located. So again, I don't know why anybody get a set of the journals without getting the index. I mean, it's nice that they pay for it, but, you know.
So the numbers are based on last time's usage, basically?
Yes, yes, on it.
Yes, Representative Calvin.
Mr. Chairman, Jay, do we have the index online as well, do we not?
Yeah, I think we do. Some people just can't get away from paper. No offense to anybody in here.
Thank you. None taken.
Is there
a motion to approve?
So moved.
Senator Christman, is there a second?
Second.
Representative Calder seconded. We'll take the vote.
Representatives Carlson.
Yes.
Drubdahl. Caldor.
Yes.
Kelsch.
Yes.
Vigasa.
Yes.
Senators Wardner.
Yes.
Christman.
Aye.
Schneider.
Aye.
Taylor.
Aye.
Motion carried, Mr. Chairman.
I think we're going to continue to see these numbers drop with the way everything is computerized and the way we have it set up as we go into future biennium as well. So a lot less paper spending around here.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the next item is the document subscription program. Through the Bill and Journal Room, we offer a subscription program that people can subscribe to receive a copy of these items. And basically, we don't want people to come in and ask for the same, for a new item each day. If they want a copy of every bill, they should subscribe to receive a copy of every bill. Then they're put into a bill box for them, so people subscribe to the bills, the journals, the maybe bill status report, calendars, daily hearing schedule, or weekly hearing schedules, and it's a lot easier for the Bill and Journal Room, and it's a lot easier for a lobbyist or anybody else, state agency, to come by and say, you know, give them a box number, 12B, and they just go to the box and hand them the stuff. They don't have, and that saves time and work in the Bill and Journal Room on it. So this document describes the numbers, and I just want to run through these very quickly, and that is for bills and resolutions, 28 out of 57 people subscribe to receive it. Now the remaining number are the one state, we don't charge state agencies to subscribe to the bills because that's just one hand in one pocket paying the other type of thing, and that's what the price was last session, $3.15. 8 out of 30 paid to receive a set of the journals, 6 out of 16 paid to receive the index, bill status report, two entities paid $350 to pick up a bill status report, and one paid $490 to receive it by mail. Just seeing who's here right now, we've been raising the price on that, trying to get people to stop subscribing to this thing. and it went up last time. It went up from 1 to 2. And I was thinking about $600 or something, but I thought that might be a little extreme. On it. Daily calendars, no charges to pick up the daily calendars. You want to encourage that. But if you want to get them by mail, again, I don't know why anybody would want a daily calendar by mail because you get it 3 days after the day on it. But, and no unpaid. So that encourages my belief in people. Committee hearing schedules, no charges made for committee hearing schedules. And you see what the cost was, about $7,200. 27 entities pick them up at the Bill and Journal Room. So usually they come by on a Friday, and of course, and there's stacks in the Bill and Journal Room, stacks up the information kiosk. What we're recommending is that the a complete set of Bill and Journals be available for $225. This is $65 less than what was in the last session. Again, these numbers are based on the cost of printing these divided by the number of copies printed. Okay, so we're recommending $225 for a set of the daily bills and resolutions. The daily journals, we're recommending $90. That's an increase of, or recommending a fee of $100, which is an increase of $10. The index to the journals, we're recommending $35, which is an increase of $5. Printed bill status report, we're recommending $395, which is an increase of $45. Again, all these figures are based on what the costs were to print these in 2011. There's no change in the daily calendars and committee hearing schedules, no change in the fees for mailing these items out, because that really, not that many request them to be mailed on it. State agencies receive calendars without fees, two copies of the bill of sales report are provided to the press room on it, and if you're asking for more than five copies, then you're supposed to pay a subscription fee on this.
Anything else with that? Move for approval by Representative Calder, is there a second?
Second.
Senator Wardner.
Representatives Carlson.
Yes.
Grubdahl.
Yes.
Kaldor.
Yes.
Kalsch.
Yes.
Vigasa.
Yes.
Senators Wardner.
Yes.
Chrisman.
Aye.
Schneider.
Aye.
Taylor.
Aye.
Motion carried, Mr. Chairman. The next item is the organizational session agenda, and the committee approves that. Just because you approve it today, you'll be seeing it probably again in September if there are any changes, and at your last meeting in November if there are any changes. Basically, once you approve it today, we put it out on the web so people can see, gives an idea of what happens during the organizational session. If you're a legislator or you want to know what's happening each day, it's out there on it. There are no changes with respect to the procedures for legislators. We did change, I just want to point out, the organizational session continues the 1 o'clock convening time on the first day, Monday, to allow legislators to come in, but it starts 9 a.m. orientation sessions for freshman legislators. And also, some returning legislators, if you want to come in here early, you get some computer refresher courses. So we've added a computer distribution and training session for new legislators on Monday afternoon at 3:15. That's new. And we also have the training sessions traditionally for new legislators beginning Wednesday afternoon after the joint address by the governor on it. And then tablet training sessions have been added for returning legislators on Tuesday and Wednesday. So basically it's the same agenda of the organizational session, except additional and more specific training has been provided to legislators and new legislators, or returning legislators and new legislators.
We have Representative Vigasa moves to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Senator Wardner. Any discussion? Doesn't seem possible if this is right around the corner, but take the roll.
Representatives Carlson.
Yes.
Grubdahl.
Yes.
Kaldor.
Yes.
Kalsch.
Yes.
Vigasa.
Yes.
Senators Wardner.
Yes.
Chrisman.
Aye.
Schneider.
Aye.
Taylor.
Aye.
The next item, Mr. Chairman, can be handled with one motion. I'll just describe what it is. Traditionally, this committee authorizes the director to contact the governor with respect to making arrangements for the State of the State address, contacts the Chief Justice with respect to arrangements for the State of the Judiciary address, extends an invitation to the tribes to provide a tribal-state relationship message, and each of those, one's on a Tuesday, one's on a Wednesday, one's on a Thursday during the session on it. And it also determines the committees to receive some reports and when the Agriculture Committee is to receive some reports. So basically, it's what we recommend is the second day the Agriculture Committees meet, which would be that Friday, January 11th, to be the day for the joint hearing to receive the report of the Agricultural Commodity Promotion Groups. At the same time, at the same hearing, there would be a joint hearing to receive the biennial report of the Ag Commissioner on the status of the pesticide container disposal program on it.
I don't want to miss that one.
Let me note that. And then the committee that's been selected in the past, by statute it's the Agriculture Committees that have to receive this report with between the first and tenth legislative days, and this is the traditional day set by the LP&A committee. The statute provides the Commerce Commissioners to provide a biennial report to a committee. And what this LP&A has done every time since this has started is designated the Industry, Business, and Labor Committee to receive that report on the second day those committees meet, which would be Monday, January 14th. because the committees will meet Wednesday, and then the second day they meet will be the Monday. And that's been the traditional days that this committee has selected for that. So if there are motion to approve all of that.
I never heard, have a motion by Senator Warden, is there a second? Senator Taylor?
Representatives Carlson?
Yes.
Drugdahl?
Yes.
Caldor?
Yes.
Kelch?
Yes.
Ligusa?
Yes.
Senators Wardner?
Yes.
Chrisman?
Aye.
Schneider?
Aye.
Taylor?
Aye.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Now we'll probably slow down a little bit. But the next item starts with arrangements that impact legislators, and the first are the, they've been called brief bags, legislator bags, briefcases, whatever. This committee makes a decision as to the types of bags to obtain for legislators. After the last, the types were changed for the last session, and then there's been a request for a little bit more rigid type bag for 2013. And an example of that is, Lori has the example of the bag that we propose for legislators to receive.
We pass this around, too.
These are the ones they received last. These are the ones that you could have received. New legislators are offered these in a form in the orientation packet. Returning legislators can request one. So anyone can request on us whether they know about it. Keeps the cost down. It's embossed with a state seal, and it'll have the legislator's name stitched on it. Or were they stitched last time? They were stitched.
That's what it looks like.
They'll be embossed. Okay.
You can't see the seal when they put it on like that, so.
It might be subtle.
Yeah, it's subtle, all right.
Kind of like a watermark.
Yeah, it's subtle, okay. Stamp that didn't stick.
So what we're proposing is this be the brief bag that's offered to legislators on it. And what we've done in the past is they're authorized for new and holdover legislators upon the request of each legislator, but the request form has been included only in the packet given to new legislators. No, this is for the new ones. That's the way it's been handled in the past. Okay? So that's we propose continuing that policy, except we'll be changing the bags. Okay? The next one is legislator stationery, and unless there's a problem, propose a motion approving all of this at the end.
Any thoughts on the bags? Would be any problem before we move on to the next one? All I know is I don't like that flimsy bag very well. And especially now if you're all going to be carrying an iPad, you're going to want something and it's a little more substantial, not beating that around. And if you got both of them, I don't know why you'd want to carry both of them, but if you do, Senator Snyder?
How much is a bag? It's not like $10,000 or something.
Oh, I would hope not.
I think, Mr. Chairman, this bag along with the embossing on it would be about $50.
But it's just much, that one there, but it's a floppy bag, and I think we should have something a little better than that. Because every time I go somewhere, I see guys carrying our bags everywhere. They always use them to haul stuff in it. I'm not so sure about the seal. You can't see it. Now, if that could be done in color, if that could be done different, that'd be fine, but there's no reason to even have it on there now, because you can't see it. So if we can check into that.
So, Mr. Chairman, currently, the way it's set up, veteran legislators wouldn't get the new bag.
Yeah, they would.
Automatically.
All they have to do.
They have to request them.
Oh, request them.
Okay.
Okay.
How many of you got more than one bag at home? Okay.
That's.
I was going to see you raise your hand before I did.
and Mr. Chairman, that's the background of why we don't include a form automatically for everybody. It's you have to request them because people are getting bags all the time, and all of a sudden they're building up.
Remember when we had the roller bag for the Hewlett-Packard? Was it one of our bigger computers anyway? You got a bag with rolls on? We had to have a carrier to get with you to carry the bag. You know, so we've tried a lot, but I think these will be used by our legislators.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, the next item is legislator stationery. The current policy was that each legislator is provided an option with respect to stationery. You can receive no stationery, 250 sheets of regular, that's 8.5 by 11, or Monarch, that's 7.5 by 10.5, that's more than note stationery, and envelopes, 250 sheets of regular and 250 sheets of Monarch, or 500 sheets of regular or Monarch, or 500 regular envelopes. Okay, it was your choice that you selected. And the speaker, the leaders, and the assistant leaders can receive as much regular and Monarch stationery as they need, or, you know, desire. And other legislators can request an additional 500 sheets of stationery and 500 envelopes. What we're proposing is that a template is provided now, it was provided in the last session, so that you can print off, you can do your letters on your computers and use the template that has the letterhead on it. And we propose using that rather than provide stationery to legislators. Okay.
Any thoughts on that? Mr. Calder, any thoughts?
Well, Mr. Chairman, if everyone is using a computer, I don't see anything wrong with that.
Well, I prefer it. It's easier.
Yeah.
Run it off, have a blank paper in your printer, and you're done. You got your letterhead, the whole works. But
you asked about how many bags we have. I think I've got a few reams of stationery.
I know that I still use them. I cut them up and use them for notes. I think I'm all the way up to 97 now.
Well, it would surely, Mr. Chairman, save, I think, a waste on stationery.
Okay. Next item is...
Oh, Mr. Chairman, say you want to mail merge 50 letters or something like that on an issue that you get. Is that possible to do that off the computer? That you can do that easily? Okay. Thank you.
I see all the heads that are know what they're doing, shaking it up and down. Must be right.
Next item is the policy with respect to security access cards to the Capitol. The policy, the current policy that we propose continuing, is that security access cards will be provided to legislators on request upon legislators signing a form acknowledging receipt of the card. Okay. The photo ID card. Starting in 2010, each legislator was provided a credit card-sized photo ID card containing your 2010 legislative photograph, the signature from the comment, session number, the legislative council office number, and the watch line number. The photo identification cards expire. They're valid for the term for which elected. So if you're elected in 2010 and you're going to be here in 2013 session, your card is still valid on it. If you're elected now in 2012, you'll be getting a four-year card that has your photo on it. So your cards are valid for 4 years at a time for the term, so you don't need to have a new card every 2 years. The picture may be old, but, I mean, old as in perspective of 2010 versus 2012, but sometimes those are better. The general distribution policy, and frankly, we don't know if anyone has used this in the last two sessions. The policy is that desk forces announce that legislators can have daily journals sent to anyone without charge upon approval of their leader on it, but they're supposed to ask the person if they have access to the internet because the journals are on the internet. Now, the last figures I had, I think one legislator requested that in the House, and the last time I heard, I think it was in 2007. I don't know if anybody's requested that in the past. So we propose eliminating this as a policy.
I can understand that.
Okay. Legislators' expense reimbursement policy. The policy originally adopted is one that's been followed session after session, and this is within the reimbursable amount. So it's not in addition to the statutory maximum. The reimbursable expenses are utilities, including electricity, heat, water, garbage collection, and sewer charges, basic telephone service and telephone installation charges, furniture, which is rental of furniture and appliances, and transit charges for moving rental furniture and appliances, and snow removal expenses, which were added during the 2011 session on it. The expenses have to be vouchered, and the total is this formula, It's 30 times 65% of the daily lodging reimbursement effective on August 1st of even numbered years. We think that's going to be approximately $1,351 is going to be your, that's the maximum.
That'd be, and those expenses cannot total more than that.
Cannot total more than that. If, there's a policy adopted in 2007 that if legislators are sharing a private residence, let's say more than one is living in a home or whatever, their expenses are subject to approval of the legislative management chairman on it. And we propose continuing that policy for 2013.
Because we did set it according to that formula last time, didn't we?
Well, that's...
Were residences the same as hotels on the formula?
Well, if four...
No, just one individual. If I rent a house or I rent a hotel, it's the same formula, right?
Yes.
Okay. Trying to remember what we passed there.
And for...
And that's approximately $1,351?
$1,351.
And how often does that index change?
Every 2 years. Well, the index, I don't think the index is going to change. That's why we...
No, but I mean, the federal, we tied it to some formula. How often does that change?
It's an...
It changes here on October 1st, federal government changes.
And then we're tied to that? Okay.
So they've already changed it for October. It won't change it till next October, but the OMB sets it on August, so that's where we're fairly confident that's $1,351 on it.
Okay.
Incoming watch line service, the policy, you know, there's incoming watch line, people phone the telephone room for information. That's continued 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If it's after hours or off of hours that their attendance there, they receive a phone message, they can leave a messages on, and they're answered the following day. The policy first adopted in 2008 was that messages could be left only for the caller's local legislators. Legislators from a caller's district and legislators of a city, and that was selected because a lot of people in a city might not know who their legislators are. They know that there's somebody in the city, but, and for specifically named legislators identified by the caller. So if someone from Grand Forks wants to leave a message for you, Mr. Chairman, they can leave a message if they know your name. But that's to stop somebody saying, "I want a message sent to every legislator." It's, they have to, they can say, "Oh, I'd like for my district," the telephone attendant says, "What's your, where you live?" Because a lot of them don't know their district number. They know where they live, but they don't know where their district number is. So they'll look it up, and they'll give it to the three legislators in their district. And if they're from Dickinson, they can, if they say, "Give it to everybody from Dickinson," they'll leave it for legislators from Dickinson. But if they want to leave it for anybody else, they need to know the name. They can't just say, I want it for that guy from Fargo." It's not going to happen.
We get enough of those in emails. We don't need another method to get at it.
So, Mr. Chairman, if that's agreeable, there's a motion to approve all the recommendations?
That's not good, Bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the past, we've gotten discs for updates on, I think it's laws or something. I don't know, I think we're still getting those, but we can access that all off the computer by going to the state constitution and the state law. I've been trying to cancel mine for 2 or 3 years now and haven't been able to do it. Are they costing us some money, and if so, should we review that and get rid of those discs?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Drubdahl, those discs are free.
They're free?
Yes. That's part of the contract with the publisher. They provide it. But we'll see what we can do to get you removed from the distribution list.
Well, I'll make them a little bigger so that my frisbees will...
It's a lot cheaper than if you're going to buy these in private.
Well, they're free, yeah.
That's part of the, it's part of the contract, it's part of the contract that the legislators get those, just like you received, you can receive a set of the Century Code if you so desire on it.
But, Mr. Chairman and Jay, we can go on the internet and get the Century Code, we don't really need them.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Wardner, that's correct, except the disc is provided by the Mickey Company, and that also includes annotations. So if you're interested in any court cases or any other materials that are annotated under the section, those are available. Our database only has the bare Century Code section, no source notes, anything like that.
Okay.
There's no discussion, further discussion? Take a motion on all seven of those items.
So moved.
Have a motion by...
Second.
Representative Govdahl, seconded by Representative Kelch. We'll take a vote.
Representatives Carlson.
Yes.
Govdahl.
Yes.
Keldor.
Yes.
Kelch.
Yes.
Vigasa.
Yes.
Senators Wardner.
Yes.
Chrisman.
Aye.
Schneider.
Aye.
Taylor.
Aye.
Motion carried, Mr. Chairman. The next item on the agenda is the proposed legislative wing improvements, including the renovation of the ground floor study and the prayer room table replacement and some other items, so...
Mr. Chairman, I'd go through that if you'd like.
Absolutely.
There's a summary page that's provided in your packet. As you recall, last session, there was $500,000 that was appropriated for improvements in the legislative wing. In addition to that, there's some carryover money from previous biennials. What's been committed to date, you can see the video upgrades in the committee rooms. Those have basically been completed. Also, we've ordered the camera systems for the House and Senate. You'll approve that at the March meeting. What we're looking at today is your consideration for several items. The first item is the prairie room table replacement, and we've attached drawings prepared by Rough Rider Industries. The prairie room is on the second floor in legislative council office. It's a horseshoe-shaped...
The old judicial room?
Yep, Mr. Chairman, that's correct. You know, the table's functional. It doesn't have the connections for computers and that kind of thing. But what we're looking at is replacing that with a table that would match the one that's in the harvest room here. The cost on that is just under $19,000. It's kind of in line with the other tables. They've raised their prices a little bit, but that's the first item for consideration. And you have drawings attached and a quote from Rough Rider Industries. You can see basically it would seat the same number. I think it's a 42-inch depth. So that room gets used during the session by the two committees of the House and during the interim for training and other meetings that are held there. So, Mr. Chairman, that's the first item for consideration. The second item is the ground floor study area. Now, as you recall, we've put a temporary wall in. That's the area where the Doctor of the Day is located. A permanent wall has been put in there, creating a conference room on the west side of that area. So the consideration in Appendix B is a conference table that would fit in that area that would allow for small meetings of legislators and that type of thing. The cost on that is about $3,000. We've also included 10 committee room style chairs similar to what we have in the harvest room here. And attached as Appendix C is some work that was a quote that was developed. You can see about 7 pages in there is a drawing of that area, and that would be for furniture replacement. The furniture that's there is dated. It was probably bought in the late 70s. And this is a proposed layout. That could be downsized. There's quite a bit of furniture in that area. But, Mr. Chairman, that's what we're looking for in that ground floor study area. And also, we've included about $3,500 for in the Senate balcony area. There's two places where temporary staff have their lunches, basically, so we'd have break area tables and chairs in that Senate balcony area. So those are the items that we're bringing to your attention for consideration. In addition, we had a late quote from Rough Rider for a table for the Rough Rider room and the harvest room, which would be 2x3-foot tables where they'd be like next to the front door where we'd have agendas and that kind of thing. And I'll distribute that. That's about $1,100 for both of those tables. So, Mr. Chairman, that's what we have for your consideration. This would move forward with that ground floor study area, upgrading that so it's more usable. The prairie room table, I guess that's your decision as to whether you think that needs to be replaced. Like I said, it is functional, it's used, but this would upgrade it to match all the other tables in the legislative committee rooms.
Would there be something like this in there as well?
A sign system?
Yeah.
Right now, we use a temporary kind of, I'm not sure if we would upgrade that to more of a permanent. Yeah, we would do that, Mr. Chairman.
It really works well in the committees to have these, number one for us in the audience, but number two for the clerks that are trying to...
Get a better recording.
Have a better recording on all the information. Sometimes saying things we don't want to do, but that is not part of this. Any thoughts, committee members? It leaves us with a balance of about $360,000 that we have not spent.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. We should subtract from that the camera systems that were authorized in March. I think that's roughly $20,000 for each chamber. Is that a complete cost? So that $360,000 would be reduced by $40,000 to get you to about $320,000 available after...
Once they go up in the front and pace out?
Right. Mr. Chairman, just to note again, there is some carryover money from previous bienniums where we had similar amounts that the total amount wasn't spent, so, you know, that's available for future wing improvements as well.
And this does not count the refurbishing of the two chambers that they're doing now? Is that in the...
Mr. Chairman, that...
In the capital grounds budget, or where was that at?
Mr. Chairman, the OMB budget had roughly $1 million for those improvements.
Okay, so that was not on our list.
Mr. Chairman, it also doesn't include the money for the replacement of the boards in the House and Senate. That was through a separate appropriation, and that's been approved, and that's in progress as well.
And those are being worked on, or...
They're being installed right now.
Any thoughts?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Representative Drugo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess my question is on the prairie. On the prairie room, the table there appears to be pretty much exactly the same size as what's currently in there, and the difference is basically the computer hookups on the new system. And if that's the case, doesn't our wireless connections pretty much cover the use of computers throughout the campus?
Mr. Chairman, that's true, but you still need power, and then you need to accommodate the sound systems.
And is this part of that bid?
No, it is not, no.
That can be done as well.
Well, there is a temporary sound system now, but we will put in one that's a little more permanent. And the other thing, you know, just the table's functional, but it does have a lot of scratches and a lot of wear and tear on it. It's been there since 1981, so...
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'd move approval of this package.
Is there a second? Second by Representative Snyder.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Representative...
Excuse me, you know, in the prairie room there, that table that's there, I realize that maybe have some scratches, but, you know, that really matches all the other woods in that room. Is that not possible to retrofit that to, you know, the computer connections and the sound without replacing the table? Maybe a little repair on it or something?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think the table color is basically the same as the trim on this, so I think it still would look pretty nice. You know, we've looked at options to redo the surface, really. What they came back with was a proposal to replace the entire top, which the cost was similar to what you have before you today. So we did look at those options, but...
Price of that table was 18?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, $18,600.
Well, we've made a real effort to upgrade all of our committee rooms, and this is one of the last ones that we haven't done. And I personally think that's the right time to get it done, to get it upgraded, to get the proper wiring in place and accommodate whatever future needs we might have there. So we'll take a vote.
Representatives Carlson?
Yes.
Drugo?
Yes.
Caldor?
Yes.
Kalsch. Higginson.
Yes.
Senators Wardner.
Yes.
Chrisman.
Aye.
Schneider.
Aye.
Taylor.
Aye.
Motion carried, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, the next item on the agenda, which your, due to your handling of this committee, is proceeding right on task ahead of time.
Thank you very much.
And that is the computer use policy for legislators. And Mr. Kyle Forrester will go through that.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committees, basically what we did is we updated the computer use policy to cover both the new tablet computers, which essentially is your iPad, in addition to your personal laptop computers. So now the same policy is covering both. There was a few other changes in the policy. One of them deals with the replacement of computers. There was written into the policy that you would be responsible for copying your files off and you're responsible for getting them back on. We changed the policy that we will copy your files forward from your old computer to your new computer. The IT staff are doing that now with the current replacement cycle to make it easier for the members and also be less support for IT. The other thing that's changed, that there's a new section at the end of the policy regarding the purchase of laptop computers. Some of the highlights of that essentially is that in order to purchase your computer, it's on the bottom, yes, bottom right-hand side. Basically, by policy, you would have to have paid the personal use fee for 12 months prior to purchasing your computer. And currently, there's 113 members that are paying that use fee. Legislators would purchase their own laptop, the one that they were issued. Unless there was a hardware issue, then we would substitute a different one. But essentially, you would be buying the one that you were issued. We would also follow the same procedures that we would send surplus property, the old computers, the surplus property. Basically, what that is we wipe the hard drive. And we're wiping the drives to remove the licenses for state licensed software that's on the computer, but also would protect the legislator information that's on the computer. All state computers that go to surplus property, the hard drives are wiped. Correct. That would, what the policy states is that we would wipe that drive. If you buy the laptop, essentially the drive would be empty. Basically,
for us novices, what does that mean? There's nothing, there's no Windows on it?
There's no Windows, no operating system.
If you want that to be a functional machine, you have to re-add those type of programs into it.
Correct. Basically, the recommendation is to not purchase the laptop computers. There's no warranty on them. They're essentially sold as is, so if there is defects currently or a defect may show up. Also, the operating system, by the end of the year, the operating system for those, the license key, is going to be two versions behind. Those are currently been the Windows Vista, and right now Windows 7 is the current Windows version. By the end of the year, Windows 8 will be out. Also, the IT staff will not be supporting any of the purchased laptops, the old ones. The IT staff will not be supporting anything on those. Essentially, it's on your own.
Doesn't sound like a real good purchase to me.
Case.
And the price, did we establish a price?
Okay, we're going to get to that right now, Mr. Chairman. Some of the fees that are stated in the policy that we need to go through. The recommend to continue with the personal use fee of $10 per month that you're paying now. We recommend that continue. In the policy, there was a reference to the state IT department's desktop support rate. So basically in the policy, it's talking about where if you were to use privately owned computers, the Legislative Council would charge a fee for any training or placing of the Legislative Council software on that privately owned computer. Or if you request support on non-legislative supported software on your laptops or hardware, then there would be like a desktop support fee. Well, ITD no longer has that fee. they don't have a desktop rate anymore, so we have nothing to reference to. So basically, what we are recommending is that we have a rate to $75 per hour for supporting non-legislative applications or hardware that the legislator may use.
That means he puts something on our state computer and there's trouble with it, you charge him $75 an hour to work on it.
That's what the policy says.
Are we actually going to do that?
It's not, Mr. Chairman, that has never been done to date. But we do still provide the support. If it gets excessive, then that's probably where we'd lead to a discussion of what are we doing here.
Because I see some of them are pretty loaded up when the screen's full of applications. I know there's some people that put everything on there.
Correct. But that is in the policy. Basically, so we need to establish a rate on that. The other recommendation is setting the price of the purchase of the old laptops at $100. That would equate to the rate that surplus property would sell that laptop for. That's what we believe they would sell it for, because that's what they, when we just surplused our council laptops last winter, that's what they were selling them for. That's all I have to present, unless somebody has a question.
When you look this over, any questions, committee members? Pretty much standard stuff that we did years ago, other than the updates.
Correct.
There's always the question of personal use, you just can caution people about putting political things on these computers. I mean, you can't stop them. But you surely should be, every one of us should be making our conscience aware not to do that. And hopefully we never have any problem with that.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Representative Kelly.
Would it make sense to lower that fee for non-legislative stuff to say $50 and then charge it rather than leaving it $75 and never use it because you, I mean, it's kind of funny to have a policy that you never use. And are you considering it excessively high per hour because you don't charge it, or what's the reason that you don't charge it?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committees, if you were to take your laptop to Best Buy or the Geek Squad, basically you aren't going to get out of there without paying $150 for them touching it. So the fee, I think, is probably reasonable in the industry. As far as the charging or never charging it, right now I'm not even sure how we would collect that fee. But I think mainly it's in the policy as more of a deterrent. So if a legislator does have a lot of personal use software that's causing issues, by the policy we have the right to remove that software if it impacts the utilization of legislative software, we have the right to remove it. However, if they do request support for it, then there's something in the policy that we can refer to if we are so inclined to charge.
And Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Representative Kelly.
If you do the work and agree, tell them that the policy is $75 an hour and it takes you 2 hours to fix it, if they don't pay it.
Then he's going to call us and we're going to get it out of them.
Well, the thing is, he said, I didn't know how to collect it. You have an agreement, this is what it's going to cost per hour. You took 2 hours to do it, this bill's $150. I mean, that's the way everybody else operates.
We'll make sure if that does happen. And it's excessive. I mean, I understand normal wear and tear and things that get put on to the people you use because they use the computers a lot. But if it's excessive, you've got to do it, and we'll back you up to, in my opinion, it's up to us to back up and make sure they get paid for what they do.
Mr. Chairman, to date...
I don't know who they are.
Mr. Chairman.
I know who they are already.
Mr. Chairman, to date, there really hasn't been excessive support calls for that type of thing. Once in a while we get a call, usually we can help them get resolved, you know, in a half hour, 1 hour period.
I always hate to call because usually it's something so stupid they talk to me like, you really didn't know that? But I call anyway. We don't need to vote on that, or do we?
Yes.
On the policy for use of computers, need a motion to approve?
So moved. Second.
Who so moves?
All right, Elder.
All right, Representative Calder moved to approve. Representative Vigasaw, second.
Representatives Carlson.
Yes.
Drumdahl.
Yes.
Caldor.
Yes.
Kalsh.
Yes.
Higginson.
Yes.
Senators Wardner.
Yes.
Chrisman.
Aye.
Schneider.
Aye.
Taylor.
Aye.
Motion carries, Mr. Chairman. Wow, we're really moving ahead, Mr. Chairman. We'll be able to cover almost everything in the agenda.
So we can skip over Boyle till it shows up?
Yes. Let's, and we'll skip, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I really wasn't anticipating covering the House and Senate rule differences, and I didn't think we'd get to them on it. And, but what we need to discuss is Joint Rule 801.1. And the reason for that is this committee needs to make some decisions that impact acquiring hardware and software and setting up some procedures. So if you would turn to Rule 801.1, which is after this table on House and Senate rule differences, and because we'll cover that in September, Mr. Chairman. It'll be the last rule that's in your agenda. We arranged them in numerical order, but... Mr. Chairman, okay, does everybody have it? Okay, Rule 801.1 is a rule that's required by statute during the last session, passed Senate Bill 2169, and the section provides, just so that you see that in the note, the Senate shall adopt rules regarding the recording of Senate floor sessions, and the House of Representatives shall adopt rules regarding the recording of floor sessions. The Legislative Council shall archive all audio recordings of floor sessions. The audio recordings of floor sessions are public records that must be open and accessible for inspection during reasonable office hours. Okay, a joint rule is proposed so that the House and the Senate operate under the same procedures. Because notwithstanding what other states do with separate sound systems, separate everything, North Dakota has been very good in the past for having the same computer systems in both chambers, the same voting systems, everything. So that's why we propose a joint rule. And the records retention policy, if we go through the rule, basically the rule says all floor sessions of the Senate and House must be recorded on electronic media as provided by the Legislative Council. That's so that the Senate and the House doesn't go off on a tangent and get some recording media. I mean, it's sort of standardized, just like the computer system, because it's going to be tied into the computer system and the web page. The recording must include audio, which is required by statute, and may include video. And you'll see the reason we say may when we come to the next part. The Legislative Council shall provide for public access to the recordings to the Legislative Branch website. And the Legislative Council shall maintain access to the recordings in accordance with its records retention policy with respect to the records having historical value. And what that means is we never destroy them. Records having historical value, we maintain always. So if we have it in our office, if you want a copy of the minutes of a standing committee from 1959, well, I don't know if we have 59, because I don't know if they recorded them then. The actual paper copies, we have them. That the committee recorded used to be by cassette tape. We turn those over to the Historical Society. The trouble is, I think we have three different versions of cassettes. We started with a regular size cassette, and then the mini cassette, and then the micro cassette. And they've informed us that the recordings are basically deteriorating over there. If you have any type of tape recording, you set it in a room, it's going to deteriorate over the years. In addition, I don't even think we have a cassette tape recorder any place in our office, do we? I mean, maybe one. I can sell an old one for my stereo system that I have in the garage, but it's kind of like an 8-track tape cartridge.
Good thing most of us in here old enough to remember that. Senator Taylor might not, Schneider might not remember, but some of us do.
If you were driving around in the 70s, you might have an 8-track tape cassette.
These guys didn't know what the 70s was. They were...
Yeah. Are you going to cover this? Mr. Chairman, Kyle was going to... We have a handout that has been distributed. On the choices the committee has is to record audio only, or audio and video. And audio has to be archived forever, according to the statute. because it's, we maintain those, and we're going to maintain them forever, because that's historical documents, just like the journals, we don't get rid of journals. The current policy on recording of floor sessions is, they're retained until the end of the day on it. So, because we're not in control of that. And Mr. Forrester will go through the proposals for audio or audio and video.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, basically, you have a document in front of you that separates some of the differences between just doing audio only versus doing audio and video. So in regard to audio only, basically, what that means is that we would only record the audio for each chamber session. We would place that file up on our website, and it would be available for consumption or listening. Basically, there's no index information captured with that audio. So what does that mean? Basically, what it means is, in the case of where this bill, Senate Bill 2169, was passed in the Senate chamber on January 21st, 2011, basically what you would have to do is find that date for the chamber, hit play on that audio, and you would have to scan through the audio to find where that bill was talked about in that chamber session. Okay, so there's no indexing. Indexing basically means you could go directly right before where that bill would be spoken about, so it's quick access. So if we do audio only, based on the fiscal note that was set up for that, there would be no indexing, and the costs are there for the expenditures of $4,000 this current biennium, and then $5,100 the next biennium, and future bienniums would be some additional cost because there's some storage costs at ITD. Now, if we were to do both audio and video, basically that would provide the index capability, such that there's a couple examples there. So if you were to go out to the public website and search for a certain bill number in a certain session, a list of all the video and audio combined would show up for you to choose from and show you the session day, and you could choose which one you want to listen to. And it would take you directly to the point in that video, and you could listen to that where that bill was discussed. Another example would be with the indexing information and the technology. In our current website, if you were to go to one of the bill pages and look at the measure status actions that occurred in the chambers, well, right now we have links to the journal page that describe what was happened for that action in words. There could also be a link that would take you to that same video of that chamber session where that action occurred. You could directly link to it. So essentially, that's what the indexing provides. So the expenditure here is different than audio only. Essentially, we would have to do an initial purchase and implementation of the technology, the hardware, the software, and the services that make this happen at $110,500. There would be ongoing costs associated with that because we would be using licensed software hosted in our environment, but there still would be annual maintenance and support that we would have to pay to that vendor. The other thing we want to point out is that essentially that cost of $110,000 essentially is just the Senate and the House chambers. For each additional room, there would be a cost of $27,000, and that would include the audio-video encoders, the internet streaming, and the cameras and the control stations, because there's no cameras in any of the committee rooms. So there would be a cost per room. And then depending on the number of rooms that are actually enabled with this technology, we would probably need to expand our storage in the 15-17 biennium to store this content. Currently, we would have enough capacity to store it in our current server environment for the chambers, but if we expand it to many rooms, then we would need, at some point in the future, we would have to expand our storage. And as Jay mentioned, this is stored forever, so that storage cost will grow over time. However, the audio and the video wouldn't need to be stored on the same media as other content. It could go on lower cost, lower speed access storage, but still be available online. We could also, at some point, choose to archive older content if we want to make it available, not online, but still store it. Again, that's a future choice down the road. Mr. Chairman, you had a question? Okay. The recommendation essentially is to do both the audio and video. Essentially, that would be in line with what currently be done in many other states and surrounding states. Also, the recommendation is to do two rooms, the Harvest Room and the Rough Rider Room. And the reason for that is essentially, as you recall, leading up to the 2011 special session, we had the Healthcare Reform Committee stream to the internet their interim meetings. And they also wanted them recorded so they could hand them out. That occurred, and then also during the 2011 special session, there was a healthcare reform meeting during session that was streamed to the internet. And then just last week, the Education Committee desired and requested to stream their meeting from BSC to the internet, and they also wanted a recording. So we are seeing the chairman of committees requesting this technology and the capturing of that audio video. So the recommendation is to do the audio and the video in the chambers, and then also do the Harvest and Rough Rider rooms. And then sometime down the road, then you would have the choice of when we would do the other committee rooms.
Any members, questions, comments?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator Griffin.
Mr. Chairman, who is the ownership of this? You know, I think you watch a baseball game, and it always says at the end that you can't use that material without their permission. And so, and then the other point or example I want to bring up, we see the federal government, where guys are standing there, guys and ladies are standing there making their speeches, and the whole room is empty, but you know, they're taping their messages and send them back home to use for their re-election campaigns. Is this going to be material that encourages that kind of thing, that the old saying of everything's been said but not everybody said it, but now we're going to change that, so we're all going to get up and say everything we can think of on every single bill just so that we have all this material to work with? Or is this something that's owned and licensed by the state somehow that's not for use in campaigns, or how does that all play out?
Mr. Chairman, the state legislative branch would own the content. What we also discussed doing is when the video stream is being captured, it could say the 2013 Senate or 2013 House of Representative on the bottom of the screen, we can emboss that right into the video so we know where the video came from. And we should be able to do that in the committee rooms also. But in regard to the usage of that video, I mean, if it is available on the internet, I think it would be up to this committee to decide the rules in regard how that can be used or not be used. And you may already have the rules in place that govern that. Okay?
No, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I would suggest that these recordings of public meetings are public. And the state, you know, when you're talking about NFL or Major League Baseball, they own baseball, and I mean, they contract or they sell the rights to broadcast the game, so that's why you can't rebroadcast on it. But the state isn't selling the right to view a public meeting or a floor session on it. The state could try to probably limit the use of the recordings, but I don't think you'd be too successful on it.
Well, what would stop somebody from standing in the back with a telephone recording what we're saying today and transposing that into a message on YouTube or whatever? Is there anything that stops that? I don't think there is there?
No.
I mean, I think you're wide open anyway, even though you'd like to think, and hopefully this isn't it. We're going to conduct our business in a professional manner, and if what you say, if you're afraid of saying it, maybe you shouldn't have said it. But as far as, I think what you're trying to do is to have the public have access to what we're doing.
Correct.
And I'm sure that there's some hazards that go along with that. But I think that's what we're attempting to do here. And personally, I don't have any trouble with it, but I don't know where it's going to be expensive over time. But the new cameras we're putting up, and correct me if I'm wrong, we're already provide the video that we need, the ones that'll be up in the front of the chamber.
Correct.
That will be the video we're using, is what we already have established and set up. The audio has always been recorded through our system.
But, Mr. Chairman, the audio's been recorded, but it's only been for the committee, or the calendar, or the journal clerk to do her daily journal, and then it's not...
But we have the ability to record it already.
Correct, but we do not store and archive it today.
And that's the big difference, and the cost over time, I would think, would be that item, is the archiving of this.
Correct.
This would digitize it to the point that it would say Senate Bill 3024, or whatever it happens to be, and they would be able to go right to that point to find it.
Correct.
So that was you saying would be the advantage.
Correct, Mr. Chairman. That's the technology capability of the streaming media and the collection media to be able to index it, so you can have that direct access.
Yes, Representative Calvert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, in the, right now, we also record the committee deliberation, and those are not indexed. Is that correct? I don't think they are.
Mr. Chairman, correct. We record the interim meetings and also the standing committee meetings, but currently, those are stored in a technology that's proprietary. We know what bills were discussed in the standing committees, but right now, there's no way to go directly to a certain point. So the clerks, when they're listening and creating their minutes, they have to scan through the whole audio/video.
And then, if I may continue, when we request, I know on a couple of occasions, just to recapture what was said, we request, I think I've gone to the library and I said I'd like the information on House Bill 1260, the audio from that, from a hearing for that day. Does the librarian then have to go through a whole ream of recordings to find that spot?
Representative Caldor and Mr. Chairman, members of the committees, the librarian makes a request. They actually go into the current system and they'll identify first which meeting dates that bill was discussed, and then they look up the job numbers essentially for the recordings, and then they make a request to IT, and we have to export it from the proprietary format into a consumable audio format, and we provide that either on a DVD or a file download. But yes, you get the whole audio for that whole proceeding.
So, in a sense, this would solve some of that complexity in the long run.
Over time, yes, as you build up your content, we would probably stop seeing those requests because they would go straight to the internet and look it up themselves.
Now, I believe, Mr. Beringer, this is one of those items that if we're going to do it, I'm assuming we'd do it and approve it so that it would be ready to go for the session.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. That's why a decision needs to be made today.
Committee members, what's your thoughts? Senator Taylor?
Mr. Chairman, just kind of on the, you know, who owns this and you know, the reasons for doing it. You know, when we run for office, we work for the public, and I assume that the public would own this. Taxpayers would be paying for it, but they'd also have access to it, and you know, we're here to do their work, make decisions about the money that they send in the form of taxes and the services that they expect to get back. You know, I think it's... Some people can obviously come to the session and sit and listen and see it firsthand, but a lot can't. And this is just one way to kind of, you know, democratize the process to where everyone has access, and technology is allowing us to do that. And it will come at some cost, but I think we need to make the decision that it's a, I hope and believe it's a justifiable cost, because everyone will own it and everyone will benefit from it.
I agree with that. Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Representative Calvert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think if we just stayed with just the audio, I shouldn't say it would be useless, but it's way less useful than the audio and video. If it's not indexed, people are just going to give up on it. They're not going to be hunting for half an hour or an hour to find one thing. With that being said, Mr. Chairman, I'd move that we approve the video of video and audio portion of it.
We have a motion and a second to approve the audio and video. The timeline-wise, Kyle, there's not a problem for us to purchase equipment, get it installed, you're already doing the camera side of it, but you still have to have someone that gathers all this and keeps track of it, so.
Correct. Mr. Chairman, yes, we would be able to do the House and the Senate chamber for the 2013 session.
Just so I understand how this is going to work. I mean, we're archiving and we're keeping track of it, but is this, is every session going to be streamed live then, besides on the cable network, or, and it'll be on the internet instead of the cable network, or both? Both. Okay, just so I understand where this access is going to go. All right.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I guess we're looking at two options here, one the audio without indexing, one with the audio video with indexing. Don't we have another option of an audio with indexing?
Correct, we do, Mr. Drovedahl, or Representative Drovedahl, Mr. Chairman. However, to implement that, it still requires technology. So the cost difference for subtracting out the video out of that is about $10,000. Because you still have to implement the full infrastructure to store it, archive it, index it. It's just that you're removing the encoders for the video.
Good question, Mr. Chairman. I wouldn't have thought about that.
$10,000 is the only difference, so.
Any other thoughts, committee members?
Does the motion include the Harvest and Rough Rider rooms?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
I think it'd be good to start with two rooms and then see how that all works, and let's get the bugs worked out a little bit before we go full-blown into every committee room, but all right, we'll take a vote. Thank you, Mr. Corson.
Representative Carlson.
Yes.
Drovedahl.
Yes.
Kaldor.
Yes.
Kelsch.
Yes.
Vigasa.
Yes.
Senators Wardner.
Yes.
Christman.
Aye.
Schneider.
Yes.
Taylor.
Aye.
Motion carries, Mr. Chairman.
We have one item left that we're going to do today, I believe, and then we're, the other items we can take up at our next meeting, which we have yet to determine the date.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
All right.
The September meeting will probably again be ahead of the budget section, and kind of a preview, we'll be looking at the bids received for the secretarial service, the bids received for the photography contract, looking at these rules amendments. They have a chance to digest them in September and maybe finally approve them in November at this meeting before the Legislative Management Committee meeting. And then session employee numbers and pay.
Mr. Boyle, you are kind of the last. We jumped around you today because we're moving so rapidly, and we'll let you wrap up our meeting this morning with your information and regarding the status of legislative chamber improvements and the legislative parking lot renovation project.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is John Boyle, Director of the Facility Management Division within the Office of Management and Budget. If you've had a chance to go into the House chambers, you can kind of see the work that's been done. That chamber is probably 95% complete. All we have to do is the punch list items and then a thorough cleaning, and then we'll be out of there probably next week. On the Senate side, the rostrums have been returned. They're finished. Most of the brass has been cleaned. The back walls, which we call vertical walls, that's been done, and the overall project will be done by the deadline by the end of July. On the north parking lot project, we had an estimate of $2.8 million. We only had two contractors bid the project. Neither of those were local contractors. The low bid was $5 million. So, you know, like a lot of projects you're going to hear about, anything that involves earthwork is probably double what it was a couple years ago. So what we're going to do, and what that project entailed was expanding the loading dock, which would then allow us to redo that corridor going to the cafeteria, redoing everything north here, and then adding a parking lot on the north side of the loop road that goes to 4th Street. So in speaking with the Lieutenant Governor yesterday afternoon, who is the chairman of the Capitol Grounds Planning Commission, it was determined that we should still go out and try to rebid that parking lot north of the loop road and try to get that done before the session commences. That would actually give us an additional 280 parking spots. Right now, when you all take over the legislative lot, we give you about 180.
Well, when we rightfully get our spots back.
Yeah.
Difference of explanation.
It's pretty suspect. That's about 180 spots. So this would give us 100 additional on top of that. So it should really alleviate a lot of the issues with the parking situation during session. So we're hopefully we'll be able to get a couple local bidder contractors to bid that work. It's mainly just earthwork. One of the problems was we bid the whole package and you had building work and earthwork, so it was tough to get a contractor that does earthwork to also find a general to as a sub to do the expansion. Because we're not expanding the loading dock, we're not going to redo that cafeteria corridor either, because it just get tore up because of, you know, deliveries. Agencies use that corridor now as a loading dock. So what we will probably do, in speaking with the Lieutenant Governor, this was like a three-phase project. This was just phase one. We may combine the rest of what we didn't get done in phase one and phase two and ask for that in the next biennium, but we'll see. We're meeting again August 1st, the Capitol Grounds Planning Commission, to determine which projects they would like to see go forward into 2013-15. But with that, Mr. Chairman, that's all I really had prepared.
And in terms of repair to the desks, what did you do again in the chambers?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. On the desks, all the desktops have been, and you can see them in the house. We went in, all those little nicks that were on the desktops, those were all repaired. Everything was cleaned, restained, varnished. So they all look brand new, and you also see that the brass, we've gotten a lot of really good comments and a lot of press coverage also about what's been going on in the chambers with the brass. It looks brand new. It's like we replaced it, but at hopefully a third of the cost. So
very good. Any questions for Mr. Boyle? If not, thank you. Yes, Senator Christman.
The desks, so functionally, are still the same. It's the same ports, and there was no upgrades as far as functionality.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Christman, that's correct. All right. Thank you.
Very good. Mr. Beringrud, what else do we have? Nothing?
Nothing, Mr. Chairman, unless you want to go through each rule painstakingly.
No, we will not do that today. At the chairman's discretion, the answer is we'd love to, but we just really need a little break for the budget section. So if without any other business on the item, on the agenda, I'll accept a motion to adjourn. A motion and a second to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned. I would recommend you take these books, put them somewhere in your desk so you got all these rules that...
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, if members of the committee leave their binders here, we'll find them next time. But if you take them home, you have a chance to look at the rules.
Yeah, I think it's 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, you want to look at
it. Let me do it. I might have had to change it because it expired. Wrong. Try again. Yeah, 1411. Some of these apps, I don't know that I need. I've got them hooked up to that. I got phone tied in.
Excuse me.
Well, first of all, these are the internet.
They didn't ask for that.
Yeah, I have the card with me. You want the card?
Okay.
But that works great because no matter where I go, we were driving in the bus last week touring the country and I was able to get everything I needed. It's a little Verizon card. Okay, because I just need that to transfer over so I'm set. Because it works great.